أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيق ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. قد أقبل إليكم شهر الله. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله said in the last Friday of the month of Sha'ban, reminding the believers of the importance of the month of Ramadan, calling it the month of Allah out of the 12 months of the year, which both lunar and solar calendars have. In the lunar calendar, one of those months is the month of Ramadan, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the Holy Prophet, has notified us that this is a month in which the contact of the believers with Allah, their ability to progress towards Him, to make steps towards purifying themselves, to reach the proximity of the divine, that connection is stronger. And therefore, although all the months belong to Allah, are created by Allah, the mechanism in the universe that makes these times, these months, these years, has been put in place very carefully by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all of it belongs to Allah, yet the Prophet notifies us that this is the month of Allah. This is the month of God. That tells us, from our perspective, as human beings created by God to make progress towards His proximity, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a month that we can take extra measures, and the effects are multiplied, as we see in the multiple narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from his household, who relay the message of the Prophet as they are mawdu'ur risalah. All the accounts that we have that one verse recited in the month of Ramadan equates to reciting the entirety of the Quran from cover to cover in other months. The effects are multiplied. Breathing, when a person is fasting in the month of Ramadan, or if they are someone who is by God's command not supposed to fast, and their choice to not fast is a choice because God told them not to. There are some that God has commanded not to fast during the month of Ramadan. Their breathing during this month is ibadah, is tasbih, is... So everything that we do with the correct mindset, with the correct understanding, with the correct belief in what God has said in the Quran, in what God has said through the Messenger, through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, and what God has said to us of the message of the Prophet through the Ahlul Bayt sallallahu alaihim ajma'in, if we believe in it and act accordingly, the effects are such that even ordinary acts that would otherwise not be identified as worship, like sleeping, like breathing, and other effects of a person or the behavior of a person that seem to be very ordinary in the month of Ramadan, this becomes extraordinary. And the effects are that much more, depending, of course, on the belief of that person. So I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses all of us with the ability to take advantage, believe in what God says about the month of Ramadan, the days, the nights, the acts of worship, the thought process, the du'as from the Ahlul Bayt. Most of all, the month of Ramadan is Rabi'ul Qur'an for everything in our lives, personally, in our families, in our communities, collectively, globally, for all of that to be bettered, for us to have a better time on earth, to have a better life collectively on earth, we are in need of the teachings of the Quran. The month of Ramadan is Rabi'ul Quran. We should take advantage of that, read the Quran more, have sessions where we discuss the verses of the Quran with each other, try to come up with the most sincere and clearest understanding we can of the verse, and then bring that to a discussion circle with other brothers and sisters and have a conversation about it, and open our minds instead of trying to prove that my understanding is correct. Try to open my mind to hear what's there and think, and of course be genuine and honest, what seems, what is clearly most understandable, most relevant to the words, the sentences, what seems to be the message of the verse. After hearing all of that, should be what we take if there's clarity, and otherwise to say, Ya Allah, I'm still not clear and I need that clarity from you. And this process, this discourse, is what is going to lead to further and further understanding with that right intention, this part of the process, and of course, when we come to clarity, to act accordingly, as long as that clarity is there. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with that. What I wanted to, in addition to that reminder, tell us and remind us and discuss in this session, which is supposed to be relevant to the political climate that we are in, the political events. Sometimes political events are occasional, they are related to a particular short time span within days or weeks or months. And we tend to be a little more interested in those trends, in those events, especially if they are more hyped up by the media, or certain events that are just naturally a big hype within our community globally, Muslimin, especially the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, especially in those who are following the revolution and see that as the beginning of the revolution of the Imam of our time, Ajjalallah Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif, events related to that and the encounter of the shayateen, the abalis, the satans and devils of the world, the pharaohs, the powers that abuse what God has given them in terms of resources of the various forms to oppress people and to hurt people and to mentally, psychologically, ideologically, financially, and all the other ways of oppression, they are involved in that to be able to control all the material resources of the world, all the intelligence of the world. Everyone's minds has got to be under their control. The encounter between those powers, the United States, the Western European powers, and of course their extension in ways, and the tip of the iceberg in other ways, the Zionist regime and the Zionist global network, their encounter with the Islamic Republic, with the Islamic movement, with the axis of resistance globally. Any news, any event related to that seems to be very intriguing, very interesting, very involving, and we tend to follow those up. These are related to particular events that don't last too long. For example, we have in the last couple of decades, I think the biggest encounter that we had between the resistance and those Western powers and the Zionists was the 33-day war between Hezbollah in Lebanon and the Lebanese people against the Zionist entity, led war, which with, of course, the backing of the global powers, the Western powers, and so on and so forth. That only lasted for 33 days, or a little more, a little less, pretty much everybody knows it as the 33-day war. That only lasted that long. There are certain events that are happening within the political climate that don't last just 33 days or even the 8-year war that the Islamic Republic had to go through when Saddam was unleashed by, again, the Americans and, at the time, the USSR and all their allies, the East and the West. Everyone came together to form that war for 8 years. That's a pretty long time, but that's still short compared to certain other events that happen in the political climate. Or even the 15-year battle that Imam Khomeini went through to overthrow the Shah's government in Iran and establish the first Islamic Republic as the instructions of Islam are, not just the title, but based on the teachings of Islam. The 15-year battle that he led against the Shah and against his backers, the Western powers again, and the Zionist network, that was 15 years. That's a pretty long time. That is even short compared to certain other events. There are certain events in the political climate that take centuries. And there are battles that take centuries. If we take the battle between Imam Khomeini and the Shah of Iran and his backers to be 15 years, and that's a pretty long time, that is only part of a greater battle in the political climate of the world that had lasted centuries, maybe even millennia. The overall war, of course, has been going on for more than just a millennium, but rather, as we said, millennia, a few thousand years, or even more than that. And that is in, again, the political climate. The battle between materialism, the material ideology that rejects any real connection to the unseen, to the non-material, to the worlds above the material realm. They don't see any connection, any real connection. I worded that way to be accurate, to include a lot of so-called religious governments and political movements that had a religious tint to them. They had religious language, religious attire, yet it still followed material goals and objectives, and there was no real belief in any form of real connection between the material and the non-material. This includes the governments of the Abbasid dynasty, the Umayyad dynasty. These are all seen as Muslim rulers, and in a sense, that is true. However, these were not Islamic governments. These were rulers that ruled based on a material understanding of the universe, with material objectives for the governments, and material reasons for why whoever rules should rule. And that is basically, when it gets material, it's the law of the jungle. That's really what it is. And it has been. The battle between that ideology and the camp that represents that, that has been represented actually by the majority of the rulers of the world, the majority throughout time, the rulers of the world have generally been those who don't believe, don't see any real connection between the material and the non-material. And the other side is those who believe and see and know and acknowledge and realize. I'm using these words because, unfortunately, the word belief, through the work of that other camp, has developed a wrong meaning, which is that You just believe in something. Reality and belief are two different things. Whereas that's not the case. Believing in something means that you have identified it as a truth, and that has to be backed by evidence, by clear reasons. And that's what prophets inspired, that's what prophets advocated for, that's what imams, that's what real religious leaders push people towards. Real religious people don't want, real religious leaders don't want people to just follow them because they want them to follow them. Real religious leaders present truths to the people and try to help them understand and try to help them make the right choices together collectively. That's a true religious leader. And for that leader, people's understanding and recognition of the truth is more important than this particular event in history and their decision that will affect the health of that leader, the safety of that leader, the life of that leader. They're not interested in that. What they're interested in is the people recognizing the truth and choosing it based on that recognition and choosing what to do based on that. These are two camps. The camp of those who don't see any connection, and whether they come out openly and outright reject any, as it's called, supernatural or above natural, above the material being, a deity, a god, whether they come out and reject it outright, or they say we accept such a thing, and in the various forms of that, polytheism or a so-called monotheism, like some of the Muslim so-called rulers that said they are monotheists, but they were everything but that. They believed in every other god except for the God and his teachings. Those people, if they used religion, it was using religion for their objectives. That's one camp. That's one camp on one side of this historic battle. On the other side, you have prophets, imams, followers of prophets and imams with more knowledge, like scholars of the various levels, pious scholars, of course, and that includes those who didn't really identify necessarily as such, like Dhul-Qarnayn. God doesn't tell us of him in the context of some scholar. Rather, he is a non-prophet that was given and had knowledge, and he used it in the political context, divine knowledge, divine instructions, and he implemented them. That's what is meant by a scholar, someone who knows the truth and implements it. These leaders of the other camp, they are not interested in rule itself. They are interested in helping people see the truths of the world, the unseen, and believe in it. See it with the eyes of reason, with the eyes of logic, with the eyes of the soul, with the eyes of the heart. All of those levels, see it, believe it, accept it, and based on that, make choices. And a very important choice based on that is governing themselves. Prophets always, and imams and whoever followed them, they always were interested in people seeing that truth, recognizing it, and choosing to govern themselves based on that. And that's what brings prosperity. وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا. The people of the Qariya, this is not referring to any particular area, anywhere in the world, the people, if they آمَنُوا, They believe what taqaw, and collectively they are careful of what God says. They recognize Him. They recognize He's the supreme, ultimate, almighty, the one who is in charge. They recognize that. And once they recognize that, then they will be careful of what He says will hurt them or benefit them. And that's taqwa. To collectively have that taqwa. That's what prophets wanted people to do, or tried to help people to do. They wanted themselves to really govern themselves based on the truths of this world. Okay, so enough describing this battle scene, this historic battle scene that has lasted millennia. And there's been it's this war, maybe I should use that word, and the various battles. And in some battles, the believers, the prophets, the imams have won. In other battles, the believers have not made progress. There's been setbacks. Of course, the overall direction of the war is in favor of the prophets and imams. Firstly, because God tells us, كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلَبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِي. God has written this already. Me and my prophets will prevail. That is how God, the one who has designed this whole universe, has set it up to be. That's what's going to happen. That's what's happening. How that's the case, that will require, meaning, to see that. How does that translate? Because all we see in our current context is everybody else has power. Well, that requires explanation. But take that verse. Again, if we are able to recognize these truths, you recognize the truth that the Quran is from God. And if that is the case, which it is, then what it says is 100% true, and it's very clear cut. You don't twist it because the meaning that is clear of it doesn't make sense to you. Like, you need to correct the way you see things based on the clear meaning of the verse. كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلَبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِي. I and my prophets, my messengers rather, those I send to guide people, they will prevail. We will prevail. That's what's happening. Okay. If I don't see it, I need to change how I'm seeing things. I need to know that I am mistaking in my perception of the world around me. And the more I realize that, the more I'm able to correct my view. Anyhow, this battle that's been happening is a very important political event that less of us are interested in. But it's actually that war and that recognizing all the other smaller battles, much smaller battles, like the 33-day war, being extensions of that war. It's important to see that. If that is seen by the leaders on the right side and by the followers of those leaders, then we have joined the right side. We have recognized the actual battlefield and we have chosen the correct side to be on, and we make the right choices in order to move in the direction that we're supposed to win that war. We are on the winning team if we already recognize that, because God told us that that's what's going to happen. That is, in fact, what is happening. But then we will have responsibility. What taqo? You know, be careful of what God has said. Figure out what God has said. Do based on that. It's important to recognize that battlefield and what's really happening, and realize that the 33-day war is an extension of this, or that battle is a part of this greater scene of war. The 8-year war is part of that. The war of the prophet, the wars rather of the prophet at his time, is in the context of the same bigger war. Those are battles of this war. The battle of Badr is a battle within this context. The conquest of Mecca is one battle within this context. This war is multifaceted. It's not material, it's essentially, actually, it's not a military, rather, not material. It's not a military war. The military aspect of it is only a small portion of that. Essentially, this war is ideological. Those who recognize are able to join the right team and do the right thing. The reason why you see success in the 33-day war, in the 8-year war, in the 15-year struggle of Imam Khomeini in overthrowing the Shah, the reason why you see success there is because they identified the crux of the matter. They realized what the war really is on. And therefore, Imam Khomeini never fought for land. At a point in the process or the progress of the revolution, after the initial success in overthrowing the Shah, the revolution continues. We've had that conversation before. The revolution wasn't something that happened in 1979. The revolution is happening. It's still ongoing. The changes that need to be made on a global scale, and even in that locality of the Islamic Republic of Iran, is ongoing. We have not reached. If we arrive where we need to be, that's where it's over, and that's not going to happen. That will not happen until certain parameters are met, and time-wise, we know that's not going to happen until the Imam comes in. We're moving in that direction. If we stop moving, then we've stopped making progress in that direction. But while we're moving, when are we going to arrive? It's important to know both of those. Sometimes losing sight of us moving can cause trouble. Not realizing that we're making progress can cause trouble. Sometimes not knowing when we're going to arrive is going to cause troubles. If we think that it's going to take 20 minutes and the trip is going to take 3 days, then we're going to get tired really fast. We're going to decide to turn back and forget this. But if we know we started on a journey that's going to take time, it's going to take not 3 days, not 3 years, not 3 millennia even. It's going to take more than that. These prophets each came and led people in the direction that is going to be reached by the people at a time that is much later than their time. Nuh alayhi salam led in that direction. Ibrahim alayhi salam led in the same direction. Part of the same. Leaders and people who recognize that Imam Khomeini, who recognize that the success is because of that. He never fought for any land. During the process of that, one of the important steps that needed to be taken in that war, he saw Salman Rushdie's book, his blasphemous writing that was part of the war. For those who don't see that, who are too deficient in their knowledge of the political game that's happening, the two parties that are involved in this war, they're too naive to see what's happening. They take the narrative of the other side to understand what they want, or they understand the scene based on what the enemies want them to understand of the scene. They want to think, oh, Salman Rushdie, he just wrote something. It's freedom of speech. Just write something. You don't kill a person. You don't sentence a person to death based on their writings. Well, here we go. This is an example. Are you of the camp that believes in the unseen, recognizes that God is the authority? Are you fighting on this side? Or are you on the other side? If you're fighting on this side, you don't listen to BBC about that. You don't listen to Western thinkers and what they think punishment, if any, for blasphemy should be. You listen to those who have expertise in understanding what God has said. He's the authority. And Imam Khomeini was the highest authority on the land in terms of what we see. The greatest expert of the time on Islamic law, on what God has said. And he says, God has said this person must be killed. I announce to the people of the world that any Muslim and every Muslim that hears this is obligated to take the life of that man. Okay. Well, those who think they're on the side of the believing group of those who believe that God is the authority, those who believe in the unseen, they seem to be on that side. But when you have this battlefield right now, in the context of the war, this is one of the battlefields. You see that what they're choosing is actually based on what the other side believes in, that there isn't any God. Human life is sacred. It's funny how these words work. The ones who are saying we need to protect Salman Rushdie are the same ones that care less about how many people they kill in Iraq. They don't care about killing people. They don't even care about how many people. If it takes 200,000 people in one day and just dropping one atomic bomb like the US did in the Second World War, as everyone knows this and nobody seems to care, that's fine. If we want to use Agent Orange in Vietnam, if we want to use biological weapons against North Korea and the Korean War, which seems that everyone has forgotten about the Korean War, we just hear in the media about what the current North Korean leadership does, which is not even wrong in the context of the way they're treated. They are not the ones that engaged in war with the U.S. It's the U.S. that engaged in war with them. They chose a path, right or wrong, that's their choice. The U.S. said, you don't have that choice, and we're going to fight you. And they split the Korean Peninsula based on their desires. In the Korean War, horrific things were done by the Americans. They don't care. The British before that cared not even one bit about how many Native Americans they killed, how many Native Africans in the different parts of Africa that became their so-called colonies they killed, how many people in India they killed. It didn't matter. And now the life of a person, human life, becomes important. Look at the irony of that. And people who are supposedly on this side who think, the whole discussion is this. We're not just two parties at war. If we realize essentially the war is between the ideology that God is the Lord and the ideology, whatever it's called, whether it's given the title Islam or Tashayyu or whatever it's called, the ideology that God isn't the Lord. I am the Lord. We are the Lords. Everything revolves around us. That's the whole point. If God is the Lord, I don't have a right to say, does Salman Rushdie deserve death or not? I don't have a right to say that. I say, Ya Allah, what is the right decision? He says, kill him. That's what's right. That's what we're going to do. God says, give your life in protecting the innocent women and children that the British were killing in the Americas, in Africa, in Asia, in Europe, in wherever they did that, in the... La ilaha illallah. I don't know why these are forgotten. This British rule, they have killed so many of the Scottish, so many of the Irish, on the island itself, before they started killing anyone else. They have oppressed people on the island before they extended their oppression to whatever part of Europe, in whatever way they did that, and to the rest of the world. God says, put your life on the line to protect those people. They are the oppressed people that these oppressors are oppressing. But members of that oppressive force, if they use warfare, whether that warfare is in the form of military warfare, or in the form of certain other types, God is very, very particular. And that's why we go to an expert to understand this. Imam Khomeini understood that this case of Salman Rushdie is one of the cases. Although the person did not take up military arms, God says, take that man's life. Do you believe in God's lordship? Are you of this camp? Is that what you're fighting for? Or you're just unhappy that these people are ruling. Because as If you are part of a camp that doesn't believe in God, then it doesn't matter if right now you have a problem with the American establishment taking the lives of people in whatever part of the world it is. You are and will be part of whatever political system that is oppressing the people of the world. You will be. The only way not to be is to join the other, the opposing team, the opposing camp, the camp of God, His messengers, the imams, and whoever follows them and is with them. You have to join them. This is the war. The point I'm trying to raise here is, first of all, understand, this is a political, very political discussion, and this is the essence and the core and the crux of the war that has been ongoing for millennia, and it will last for as long as it takes until the final and complete victory, as God has promised, لَأَغْلَبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِي, with the coming of the Imam and Jesus and the whole world. The mustad'afin of the world, the oppressed people of the world, which is the dominant majority of the people of the world, they will see how they have been pushed in a certain direction. They have been fed false information, misinformation, lies. They will see the truth. They will all be on the right camp instead of being forced and lied to and deceived to do work for the oppressors that are oppressing them. See this political context, see the crux of the matter, and know that the month of Ramadan is relevant to this war. The spirituality of the month of Ramadan is relevant to that war. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi taking his bed to the masjid for the last 10 days and being involved in i'tikaf to encourage everybody else, leave material matters for days, for a few days, and focus on your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take your gains from that. When you go back to that material context, when you go back to that war with the tyrants, when you go back to the war against Iblis in the fields where you're growing crops, in the industries that you're involved in the businesses that you're involved in whatever material aspect, you want to take what you gained in that spiritual experience, that connection with Allah, and make sure that the time I put to manufacture what I am, to research, to make the material lives of people more comfortable, I do all of that based on the right ideology, moving in the correct direction, and not making my move in the wrong direction. The talks of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh that made those youngsters emotional, they cried in his presence, the way he remembered them of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then they went to the battlefields and created those victories for Islam, for Allah. When they shot bullets, it's very serious. You're killing people. But when they did that, they did it for Allah. They saw that this is the right thing to do. This is the correct thing to do. They never shot anyone for their personal gains. They never shot anyone because of their personal anger. Those talks are what causes that. The speeches of the leader, may Allah protect him and prolong his life, always consist of a reminder, connecting whatever it is that we're going through to Allah, and how we need to listen to His guidance, rely on Him, trust Him, get rid of our own desires that are blocking us from progressing towards Him. These conversations in the political context of the revolutions in the region, of whatever is happening on the nuclear negotiations, the nuclear deal, and what happens, and the people that choose and make the wrong choices within the context of the government in the Islamic Republic, the wrong choices are by people who are drifting away from that camp and that path, and drifting away from the leadership and what he says, because their line of thinking, their direction has changed. And we switching camps in this war, the context of this war, is not about physically moving from one place to the other. It's not even about being paid by CIA or MI6. It's not about that. The war is greater than MI6 or CIA. It precedes them by millennia. Iblis is the leader of all of the kufr in the world from the beginning until he will be slain by the Imam of our time, as one of the last stages of the establishment of justice on earth. It's not about being paid by MI6. People want to make connections. This guy's with MI6. It doesn't have to be. This guy's with CIA or Mossad or whatever. They don't have to be. If they move off the path of seeing God as the Lord and whatever He says is right, no, we got to do this slightly different. That's old stuff. As soon as you make that, then you're moving in the other direction. And once that becomes your ideology, that, well, the Quran is nice to recite and all. Prayer is, the month of Ramadan is a nice experience. It's refreshing. But we have to live our lives based on real things. These are words that are said, and it's complete baloney, because that is using words that mean, oh, let's live our lives based on the realities. That's what it says. But it's disguising the fact that we don't want to live based on. The reality is God is in charge. The reality is God knows, we don't know, you don't know. That's the reality. Covering it up with the statement, let's live our lives based on the realities of the world. Oh, that's living our lives based on the realities of the world. This is based on illusions, delusions, misinformation, misthoughts, misanalysis. And once we're on that path, we could still be wearing a beard, a hijab, use all that language, read Quran, recite it beautifully, have it memorized, no hadith, no all of that. Well, we're on the other side. We're not even paid by MI6 or Mossad or whatever. They're loving it up. They love us for it. And the best thing they love about it is we're doing their work without them even paying it. It's for free. They're wondering, you know, what the heck is going on here? We're not even paying the guy. We're not even sending anyone to them. All we did was just show them a few Hollywood movies. Now they think that they need to change things up so that they can get to this false image of prosperity. This is how it's done, not what God says. Oh, this is the reality. This is how you reach it. God said, no, this is not prosperity. They moved. This is the war, and the month of Ramadan is relevant to this. That everyday dhikr of Allah, real dhikr, not saying subhanallah, subhanallah. Some of us are saying subhanallah, subhanallah, then we're like, no, we need to make the Americans happy so that we can live a comfortable life. Well, that's not what the Quran says. Subhanallah means they can't do a damn thing. God is in charge. I'm saying subhanallah, and I'm saying let's just forget about the nuclear thing. Let's just, you know, be friends. The Americans are the ones who are ruling the world. It's not them. God is ruling the world. Subhanallah, subhanallah. It's not about saying those dhikr of Allah, remembering Allah, remembering His Lordship, remembering there is no will. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. These are things that need to be internalized. This is the preparation for a soldier of the Imam of our time. You can have that weapon or not have that military weapon. As we said, that war is essentially not even military. There's only small areas that it involves military conflict. The more essential part of it, the more fundamental part of it, the ongoing part of it, the one that's always there is ideological. But even in the military context, in the cases where we've had people that they needed to carry arms, they're being attacked, they need to defend themselves. Well, that weapon in their hand is a weapon in their hand. But what causes that weapon to be used right or wrong is what's inside. The part that causes that brother, when they're cut off from everyone, there's no support that they can see materially. There's nothing there. The only thing they hear is a call from their commander saying, Imam Khomeini has said, we are standing, you stand. And they stood there. And their last messages was, tell Imam Khomeini, we stood to the last breath. What causes that? It's that belief. It's that belief. Otherwise, the smallest booing is enough. They'll leave. The weapon is not going to be effective. Even in that context, in the economic aspect of the war, the battles that happen on economic grounds where they try to starve a population, look at the beauty of what the people of Yemen are doing. They're pressuring them to leave God's side, leave the lordship of God and accept the lordship of Shaitan and the great Satan, the United States, and the Zionist lobbies and the Zionist network. They're being starved. They're being deprived of medicine. They're being bombed. Their hospitals are being bombed. Their homes are being bombed. Their marriage ceremonies are being bombed. Their funeral ceremonies are being bombed. In Gaza, in Palestine, they're being starved. They've been deprived of everything for over 70 years. The month of Ramadan is coming. Quds Day is something that's important. Look at the beauty of what the people of Palestine, these mu'mineen and mu'minat, have been doing over the course of this time. They're not giving in. It's not about the land. Land is part of the battle. We're not going to give up that land. Don't confuse that. But the point isn't land for land's purpose. It's God said, defend that land. And God said, do not allow the Zionists. God said, form the front line. Don't let them cross that. And the people of Palestine have been doing that for so long. What gives a people, a nation, the ability with bare hands and bare feet, like the people of Yemen for these years that has happened, and for the people of Palestine for these decades, what causes a people to be able to continue and keep moving towards the final defeat of the enemies of Islam? It's the belief. It's the belief. Otherwise, weapons were available to the Palestinians. When did the Palestinians start making progress? When did they start kicking the Israelis out of their land? It's when belief in God was equipped with weapons. The weapons themselves, they were losing. The weapons, they gave up their weapons and they went to the negotiations and the Oslo Convention and the decisions that were made, all that's what happened. When you have weapons, but there's no faith, that's what happens there. When there's iman, even when there's no weapons, there's victory. Even when there's no food, there's victory. When there's no medicine, there's victory. And we build that strength in the month of Ramadan. We build that strength in the month of Ramadan. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the correct understanding of all of this, blesses us with the ability to make that progress, be strong, firm, unwavering soldiers of the path of Allah, of the path of the Prophet, of the path of the Imams, strong, unwavering soldiers standing, following the Imam, who is the unwavering Imam. Our Imam is the strongest on the path. He's been fighting for over 1,000 years in complete secrecy, keeping his identity secret from even his lovers. He's the strongest in this battle. Therefore, he's leading it for over a millennium. Over a millennium, one person has been leading it, the Imam of our time. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us learn that from him, follow him in that path, and become soldiers of the Imam that will help him, assist him in moving towards the final victory of Islam, which is very, very, very near. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared things gradually over the course of times. Most importantly, the means for people to start understanding more and more, and for people to have better understandings of things, and that is only made progress over the course of time. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's preparations for that final victory. We ask Allah to make us part of that, make us part of the movement of the Imam of our time, close and true companions of the Imam of our time. We ask Allah to help all those who are helping his cause, especially our ulama, our maraja, and more so our leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all of us and all believers worldwide, those who are alive, those who have passed away, those who have lost their lives in COVID. We ask Allah to grant patience to all those who have lost lives, lost loved ones in this pandemic. We ask Allah to relieve all of us and all people worldwide of this pandemic. And he will do it whenever it's best, as he knows. And we know whatever he does is the best. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.